AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A bipartisan push to hold Russia accountable as it steps up its attacks against Ukraine. A new measure to label Russia a state sponsor of terrorism.
If the bipartisan bill becomes law, Russia would join the likes of Syria, North Korea, and Iran. State sponsors of terrorism. The bill is being led by Senators Lindsey Graham and Richard Blumenthal. It comes a day after Russia and North Korea signed an agreement pledging to support each other if the countries face aggression. Perry Russum, ABC News, Washington.
In Arkansas, Conway County Sheriff officials say suspected killer Stacy Drake is in custody. He's accused of a double murder in Oklahoma and later leading police on a multi-state manhunt. Temperatures, along with the heat index, climbing in the Midwest and Northeast states. New England nearing 100 degrees today. And Alberto, now a tropical depression, but still packing heavy rain and the threat of flooding for South Texas today. This is ABC News.
This news report is sponsored by Wisconsin Capital Management, LLC, serving their clients for 40 years. Visit wiscap.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin has had 24 tornadoes already this year. The latest confirmation was from Monday in Colby. There were only 23 tornadoes all of last year, which is average. The record for tornadoes in a season in Wisconsin was 62 in 2005. It's day two of the disciplinary hearing for former UW lacrosse chancellor Joe Gow. UWL officials are now considering firing Gow from his tenured faculty post. Interim chancellor Betsy Morgan.
My level of trust in the ability for him to be able to be an effective faculty member is very low. And my level of trust for him to sort of protect the university's best interests is low.
Gow and his wife posted pornographic videos of themselves online. Gow says he's not being treated fairly. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
This is news from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Crews are moving an entire apartment building today. Not the people inside, the building itself. Workers are relocating the home at 438 West Dayton Street to 531 West Mifflin. This process makes way for a new apartment project from the same Chicago company who's done student housing like Hub and the James. At more than 750,000 pounds, this is the heaviest structure ever moved in Madison. The carriage house behind it is moving too, but that's a lot lighter and easier to manage. You can expect road closures nearby. After this is done, other houses will need to be relocated too. And construction has officially begun on Madison's Center for Black Excellence and Culture. They broke ground yesterday. It's been in the works for years as organizers work to figure out what kind of space is missing from the community. The Center for Black Excellence and Culture is expected to open at the end of 2025. And that's what you need to know. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. This is WMDX News.
And then there were two. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers training camp doesn't begin for another 4 weeks, but the team has already released one of their kickers, Jack Polensny out of Georgia. That leaves former Vikings kicker Greg Joseph and Anders Carlson, who replaced Mason Crosby.
Yeah, and I mean, it is business like usual. I mean, when I got here, there was another kicker here. I know a lot of people forget that, but the mindset doesn't change. Whether it's just zero guys or 10 guys here, I think kicking's unique because you can focus on yourself. You don't have to pass it to anyone else. It's you and the field goal post, it's really about focusing on yourself, and that's the mindset right now.
Baseball, the Brewers take on the Padres tonight in San Diego. Last night, the crew beat the A's in Anaheim, 2-0. This time, Freddy Peralta looked sharp, striking out 8 over 6 scoreless innings.
Everything was a little clearer for me because that you just said, mindset, I work on that in the last 4 or 5 days, do whatever I need to do.
That's the Brewers ace, Freddy Peralta. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Guess what? Today marks the summer solstice. Sitting under mostly cloudy skies, highs today will rise to the upper 70s. Shots of showers and thunderstorms still soak our afternoon and evening. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
Whether you're a do-it-yourselfer or professional technician, Auto Value is committed to providing the parts you need and the service you deserve. Auto Value Parts Store, We've got the parts. We've got the smarts.
Your school can earn up to $10,000 this year. Just save the UPCs from the Country Hearth products your family already enjoys. Learn more at loavesforlearning.com. That's loavesforlearning.com.
Wisconsin Capital Management in Madison is a registered investment advisory firm and has been serving their clients for the past 40 years. The firm is focused on providing investment advisory services to its affiliated mutual funds. Their approach to investment management is designed to provide competitive performance over the entire business cycle. Their clients rely on them to manage their assets through the fluctuations of market cycles, and they strive to outperform over the long term. For information, visit wiscap.com.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as our old friend Peter Rapine of EPOM's World stops by with a lighter look at the week in review. Do not miss it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show.
I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Thursday, everybody. It's a good Thursday because it's the first day of Summerfest, Brian. I'm super excited about it. And I thought, what better way to kick off the 2024 Summerfest than to ask each and every one of you, and of course, Fancy Brian Kelly, what your favorite Summerfest memories or stories or concerts are? Because if you're from basically anywhere in Wisconsin, you've probably been there at least once. And if you've been there at least once, something hilarious no doubt happened, or at least worthy of a good story. So what's your Summerfest story? If you're planning on going to a concert, which one? Give us a call, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Brian, are you going to the fest this year?
I'm probably going to end up there. I'm not going to go this weekend because I do have Justin Timberlake tickets. That'll be fun. But I will be going, and I have a blast every time I go. The fun part usually is going not knowing who's there and then wandering around and seeing what's happening. Like getting there and then just taking in the buffet of not just music, but people as well.
People. So my favorite people watching activity other than mullet hunting at the fest, right? I'm a mullet hunter. It goes back to the 90s. That is a thing. However, I do find that the state fair is a much more target-rich environment. I know not why. It just is. Right, for sure. So mullet hunting, big-time fan of that. But the other thing that I really enjoy is we as human beings, there are observable sort of patterns of behavior. And one of them is that especially couples, but even groups of friends, not necessarily couples, start to dress like each other and look like each other. You know, there's that old adage of after a certain period of time, an owner starts to look like their dog. Well, it happens with spouses. I notice people tend to wear the same kinds of shoes, the same color groups. Couples that have been together forever actually start to look like one another. I absolutely love just watching the fabric of humanity roll on by and seeing some of the done black, white, purple, Puerto Rican or Haitian. We all kind of do some of the same stuff. And the people that we spend a lot of time with that we love and care about, we start to dress alike. It just happens. What's your favorite people watching, Brian?
Geez. So I have a thing where people like to walk at me and into me.
You're a tall guy. You're a big target.
I'm 6'5", 325 some odd pounds, and it's hard to not see me, and people don't, and that's just weird to me. So for me, it's more of an experiential thing where mm-hmm. it's Mm-hmm. I'd like to walk around and see, you know, who's going to cut me off today. It's worse than driving because I will collide. Like, I've done it before where I, like, if you're not if you're refusing to move, I can't because I'm against the sidewalk. Or I'm not a large person who's like, I have the size and you will. I try and get on the side out of the way of people. I don't want to be in the way.
I crack up that people still don't understand, like, it's right, left. You know, like, if you're moving forward, you're going to the right of the walkway, right? The people on the left are going in the opposite direction. I don't know. People don't get that. Second thing, strollers are not people movers, so please do not use them in that fashion. Don't be clipping ankles with your baby stroller, okay? That's just rude. But one of my superpowers, in addition to parallel parking, is negotiation of tightly packed crowd spaces from a walking through the crowd perspective. I've got a head up on everybody. So yeah. It helps. It's like driving, right? Oh, I can see. There's going to be an opening up there. We shall accelerate now. Everyone follow me as we go. I cracks me up every time I'm at Summerfest. That skill comes in handy.
100%. And there are people who will just stop behind other folks and not go around, or people who just stop in the middle of places or have no idea of, like, choke points or walkways.
Yes.
So right here is
no situational
place.
Awareness. No situational awareness. That was a huge thing when I lived in New York, because tourists would just stop dead in the middle of the sidewalk to orient themselves, and New Yorkers would just run right into them. You know, welcome to the city. Now get out of the way. You know, step to the side. Hey, what's your favorite Summerfest activity? People watching, parking hack. Favorite concert you've seen? What's your great Summerfest memory? Happy first day of Summerfest 2024. Join Brian and I, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. We got Angie from Monroe. What is your favorite Summerfest memory or activity?
Well, I already said this on Todd's show, but I can repeat this story a million times. I got to meet the Seven Dust, and I was front and center. And I hung out, like, a little bit after, you know, the show, and they were on a smaller stage. And I got to meet them, and I had already seen this band probably 20, 30 times. And now they recognize me when I go to all their other shows. But I got to meet them, and I got to shake LaJean's hand, and Morgan Rose, who is my favorite drummer in the world. I can't say enough of how fun that night was.
Well, that's awesome, Angie. Thanks so much for sharing. I have to tell you, one of my most amazing concert experiences, Brian, was, and it is, by music aficionados, it is considered to be a historic tour that I went and saw, and really kind of groundbreaking at the time. It was the Smoke and Grooves tour of 1996.
My goodness.
Now, yeah, it's given away a little bit of my age. Here, this was before, like, you didn't have Kendrick Lamar. You didn't have basically rappers or hip-hop artists that did huge amphitheater-type concerts. Bookers were still resisting it because there were all sorts of prejudices surrounding that music genre. So this was really one of the first major big-venue hip-hop artists, and this was obviously a group of artists that had this kind of a show. It was really historic for that reason. Here was the lineup. You're going to die. Nas, the Fugees, Cypress Hill, Busta Rhyme, Tribe Called Quest, The Roots, George Clinton, and Ziggy Marley. Get out.
That's a couple hundred dollar ticket. That's a lot.
It was absolutely amazing. It was the summer after I graduated from high school. So I graduated in 95. Concert was in 96. So me and a bunch of my buddies from Rufus King High School in Milwaukee, we all decided to buy tickets and go to this. There was maybe, I think, about eight of us that went. I was the only one with a credit card. So I bought all the tickets on my credit card. Okay. I borrow the parents' Buick. I drive around the city. And I pick all my buddies up to go to the show, right? So we're all packed in the Buick, heading down 94 East to go to the show. And what do? I promptly rear-end a car on the way down to the concert, right? So I'm standing on the side of the road. It wasn't a big fender bender, but it was a fender bender. And I have, my friends had all just paid me cash for their tickets. So I had a fistful of dollars, literally. And as I'm talking to the guy on the side of 94 East, becoming late for the Smoke and Grooves tour with my seven friends packed into the car, I basically said to the guy, well, how much is it going to take for us to just like go our separate ways right now? And I think he quoted me out $300. I whipped out $300, handed it to him, piled all the kids back in the car, and off to the concert we went. Because why have a car accident ruin a good time, right? Like, that makes no sense at all. So off to the concert we went. Listen, I might have been 19, but back in the 90s, the old karting was not such a thing. We had a really good time that night. And I remember coming home, I stayed at a friend's place. Got home at about 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning because my dad had to go in early to work. And I remember I snuck in as he was in the shower, like idled the car up the driveway, right? Snuck in. I'm sleeping, feigning sleep in my bed, just counting down the seconds until my father goes downstairs and sees the car all a mess, right? Waiting, so scared. I hear the rage. I hear the back door open. I hear the running up the stairs. Margaret! And then I explained to him that I just bought the guy off for $300 on the side of the road, and we didn't call the cops, and it's not going to go on the insurance. And he's like, well, I'm still really mad, but I'm less mad, less angry. And we sort of left it at that. I think I ended up painting houses for the rest of the summer to pay my dad back to the damage to the Buick. But that was one of the best concerts I have ever been to in my entire life. It was so cool. Ziggy Marley was the closer. He came out, I think, on a zip line. There was a big, huge dancing Buddha that was about three stories tall. It was just wild. It was a great time. It was a very specific moment in time. Those mid-90s artists, just an incredible lineup. What's your favorite show that you've been to at Summerfest, Brian?
There was a time I saw Stone Temple Pilots and then went back.
STP.
And but this is like after Scott Weiland had died, so it was interesting to hear. I saw, my goodness, most of the best times were just when I showed up and then I saw something that I didn't even know. Like we were leaving one night and I go and I'm like, who's over there? That's Styx. I walked into a Styx show. And that wasn't the first time I've done that, because I also happened upon a Flaming Lips show. I went and I love the Flaming Lips. So I'm twice I was leaving, going to the car. We're about to leave and there's nothing left. And I ran into Styx and that was great. And we left with just a wonderful smile. And then Flaming Lips, when I got there, they started playing like all my favorite songs. They made me cry. They made me laugh. And it was just fantastic. It's one of the best things I've done. But again, it's the surprise that I wasn't necessarily planning on seeing.
I love that about the fest. People watching, crowd negotiation, and surprise concerts galore. What's not to like? When we come back, I'm going to tell you all the ways that you can get into Summerfest for free this season. You're not going to want to miss that. My name is Maggie Nunn. He's Brian Kelly. What is your favorite Summerfest story? Best concert you've been to? What are you looking forward to this season at the fest? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a moment.
Keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, home of the John and Gordy Show.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio 92.7 WMDX.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and make you want me.
Now that I escape sleep, walk away.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. If you haven't yet, you should stay up to date with the latest news in Wisconsin by subscribing to the Civic Media Digest at civicmedia.us/email. You'll get the top podcast hours of your favorite civic media programs like this one. You'll also get news and commentary from our entire news team. And you'll learn what's going on across the statewide Civic Media Radio Network right in your inbox each week. Again, that's at civicmedia.us/email. Check that out. When the Fugees came on, people lost their minds because that album was such a big deal in 96. I think it was actually released in 95, but by the summer of 96, the Fugees were the thing that everybody was talking about. It was a beautiful day. I'll never forget. It was July 26, 1996. What a nerd am I. I actually remember the date of that show. It was that amazing. That's one of my great Summerfest memories. What's your great Summerfest memory? 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Chris has this to say. He went to go see Ben Folds with the string quartet at the Harley stage. Well, that sounds very sophisticated.
Ben Folds cool. Is amazing. I love Ben Folds.
Yeah. Big fan base for Ben Folds. Chris says he got there early to get a good seat. Everybody was chilling and sitting down. But as soon as Ben Folds started playing, everybody stood up on the benches and completely blocked my view. I had to move to the back of the venue so I could see the show without having to stand on the bench the whole time. It was extremely bizarre. If everyone just would have stayed sitting down, everyone would have been able to see just fine. Now, this is a point of debate that I hear all the time about concerts, right? Well, do you get to stand the whole time or is that considered rude? And I know a lot of venues like the Sylvie out of Madison. I went to a show there last year. A lot of it's a brand new, I should say new-ish venue. They've sort of done away with first level seating. It's just all standing room. And then it's only in the wings that they have tiered seating. So basically, if you're an old fart like me, you pay for the expensive seats in the wings so you can sit and watch the show, which is what I did at the Sylvie. When I went to go see one of my favorite bands, Lake Street Dive. What's your favorite Summerfest story? 855-752-4842. Matt from Richland Center. This one's good, Brian. I love this one. A girl asked us to body pass her to the front of the stage. We heaved her up and then proceeded to drop her. She made the most sickening thud, but she popped right back up and said she was okay. It was hilarious, and I can't even remember who the band was. Steve from Milwaukee, totally jealous of your 1996 experience, Maggie. That's a great lineup. George Clinton, the Fugees, and Ziggy. Best free stage shows I ever saw were Ziggy, Matasayu, and De La Soul. Yeah, I love me some De La. That is my sweet spot. I am a 1977 born person, so all that mid-90s, real, real great hip-hop and R&B. That is my jam in a very literal way. What's your favorite Summerfest story? 855-75-CIVIC. Brian from Iguanago, you're on the air.
So I've been to a lot of shows in my life, and I've actually met a lot of famous people in my life, and never got starstruck until one random night after meeting quite a few famous people and being a normal person. Harry Winkler was there to introduce a band, and he got done, and the band's going, and they're walking by, and for whatever reason, I see him walking by with an entourage, and I lose it. And I'm screaming at the top of my lungs, Foxy, Foxy! And I'm sure he's like, oh my gosh, get me out of here. And, it was Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros, and it was a phenomenal show, minus my little momentary freakout. That's all.
Your meltdown. Are you going this year, Brian, or are you going to the fest?
No, I don't do it anymore. I'm, for whatever reason, on the verge of hitting 50, and I lost my ability to handle crowds.
I hear you, brother. I have to be in the right mind frame for sure to handle crowds these days. I love it. Brian ran into the real-life Bronze Fonz and lost his mind. That's a great one. We're getting a text in from 608. Apparently, we've now morphed into a concert off. That texter reminding us of the 1999 Ozfest at Alpine Valley. Marilyn Manson, Nine Inch Nails, and an outdoor amphitheater. Yeah, I've always loved tours. Yeah, I have always loved tours. I'll go to almost any kind of tour show. Like, I'd go to Ozfest. Like, that's just going to be good fun.
I had the privilege, and most of you have probably heard me talk about it ad nauseum, of being a tour manager for a pop punk band, the Dolly Rots, and they were on Vans Warped Tour the summer I was a tour manager for them. So I got to see both like small time, like van and trailer type of tour, but I also joined in on the gigantic, like multi-bus, everybody's got a driver tour and stuff. And it was really interesting to see the different scales of things. And also to be backstage at those things. That was really cool. Because you never know who you're going to run into.
That's the beauty of whether it's live theater, comedy, or big concerts or little ones. You never know who you're going to see. Listen, I promised I'd let you know how to get into the fest for free. Today you've got 30 more minutes up until 3 o'clock. If you bring in 3 shelf-stable food items to any of the festival's 3 gates, you'll get 1 free admission ticket, good for today only. Donations benefiting Feeding America of Eastern Wisconsin. Tomorrow, June 21st, all patrons that arrive between noon and 3 p.m. get in free for Children's Fest Day. So if you're wondering what to do with the kiddies on Friday, you can get into the fest for free. Everybody can between noon and 3. June 22nd, the first 1,500 patrons, again, arriving between noon and 3 p.m. and donating new socks, deodorant, or oral hygiene items like toothbrushes and toothpaste with a minimum value of $10 will receive 1 free admission ticket, good for that day only. Donations benefiting the Milwaukee Community Schools Partnership. Now, today, tomorrow, and on Sunday, the first 15,000 fans who download the Summerfest app will get a free general admission ticket that can be redeemed between noon and 4 p.m. on any of Summerfest 3 days. So that's super easy. You don't have to bring anything with you. Just download the app. You'll get a free general admit ticket. June 27th, pick and save shoppers who spend $50 on select items can bring in their receipt to the Summerfest box offices and get in for free up to 4 general admit tickets. And on June 28th, patrons wearing shirts or hats representing select area colleges will get in free from noon to 3. Herzing, Marquette, MATC, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Parkside, and Whitewater, wear your swag, get in free between noon and 3 on June 28th. We're going to take a couple of messages. I'm going to come back. We're doing a combo pack, days 13 and 14 of Joe Biden's Top 100. Coming up next, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ready or not, yeah. Here I come. You can't hide.
Hey, yo, nobody.
Gonna find you and make you want me. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide.
You know that. You
gonna
know
find that. You and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find.
You're listening to Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Matt Nair on air.
This report is brought to you by Freedom Fireworks, with 18 locations throughout southeastern Wisconsin. Go to freedomfireworkswi.com.
Wisconsin's new testing requirements for any dairy cow that's going to a county fair come into play today. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. Today is the beginning of the Elroy Fair in Elroy, the first fair that will have to implement those testing requirements. Their president says they're ready. Details on the way.
On a dairy, decisions are never made in a vacuum. Your products, technologies, protocols, they're all connected. Or at least they should be. Introducing Empower Dairy from Merck Animal Health, the only full solution portfolio in the dairy industry. Empower is more than just powerful identification, monitoring, and biopharma tools. It's about how they work together to eliminate guesswork and solve specific problems. Learn how at m-power-dairy.com.
Marie Price is the president of the Elroy Fair Board, and she said as far as these testing requirements are concerned for lactating dairy cows, it's really nothing new for her.
The Wisconsin dairy industry is very resilient, and many years ago, I'm kind of dating myself here, I've been involved in the fair industry for over 40 years, and it was common. We had to, the week before the fair, get a brucellosis blood test, and since we've eradicated that disease from the state of Wisconsin, we've went away from that testing requirement. We no longer have to do that. But I think this is just a bump in the road that we're going to see until we get all the protocols in place and everything organized. But I really do not see this have a long-term impact.
Marie Price, president of the Elroy Fair Board, their fair starting today. She said the number one item they want to focus on, making sure that fairgoers know everything connected to the dairy industry, meat as well as dairy products, are still safe. The Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection yesterday announced that to date, the National Veterinary Services Laboratory has confirmed the presence of high-path avian influenza in more than 100 dairy herds in 12 states, including Iowa, Michigan, and Minnesota, but not Wisconsin.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
And popular farm store Blaine's Farm and Fleet has announced they're promoting Mark Hastings to Chief Executive Officer and President, and also Kim Treese to Chief Stores Officer. Jane Blaine Gilbertson will continue as Executive Chair of the Board and remain the sole owner of Blaine's Farm and Fleet and Blaine Supply Incorporated. I'm Pam Yonke.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Guess what? Today marks the summer solstice. Sitting under mostly cloudy skies, highs today will rise to the upper 70s. Shots of showers and thunderstorms still soak our afternoon and evening. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 69 degrees.
It's that time of year again. The 4th of July is right around the corner, and Freedom Fireworks has everything your family needs for a safe and exciting holiday celebration. With 18 southeastern Wisconsin locations fully stocked up with everything from sparklers to artillery shells, thundersnaps to 500-gram aerials, Freedom Fireworks guarantees to bring smiles and cheers to every backyard celebration. For fireworks from all the top brands and specials that can't be beat, go to freedomfireworkswi.com for a location near you. Freedom Fireworks wishes you a safe and happy 4th of July.
Hey Wisconsin, it's construction season and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511wi.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511wi.gov. That's 511wi.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, Rocker will be in the studio with Max Inc. Preview.
And we'll have another edition of Johnny at the Movies.
First thing in the morning.
The John and Gordy Show. Weekday mornings 6 until 8.
I'm only happy when it rains. I'm only
Welcome back, Wisconsin. Happy first day of Summerfest. It's the weekend. Weekend starts on Thursdays in the summer. That's what I like to say anyways. And welcome back to the show. I'm joined this half hour by a very special guest, Tony Wilkin Gebart, Executive Director of Midwest Environmental Advocates, working at End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin. He was there before, graduate from UW Law School. Go Badgers. That's me too. I love it. Good to see. Tony's going to help us understand what's going on with PFAS. This is a combo package, days 13 and 14 of Joe Biden's top 100. We've been talking about energy this month. So thanks so much for making time for us, Tony. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm really glad to be here. Thanks for having me, Maggie.
We won't torture everybody who's listening with the name game from UW Law School. We'll save that for the offline chat.
Okay.
Tell everybody what is going on with PFAS in Wisconsin.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've probably all become familiar with PFAS. They're an emerging contaminant, which means that we're still beginning to understand the risk that they pose to human health, and our water protection laws are still catching up to regulate these contaminants and keep them out of drinking water. They've been used for decades in a variety of consumer and manufacturing processes. They've been in nonstick cookware and firefighting foam, water repellent clothing. So they are spread throughout the environment. All of us probably have some level of detectable PFAS in our blood. And what is concerning is that even at really low levels, the science is showing that exposure to PFAS, leads to increased risk of cancer and other serious health problems like decreased immune response, a host of issues. And so what we're working on at MEA and many others are working on is really trying to limit our exposure and especially get PFAS out of drinking water, because water is that comes into our homes is the thing that we use every day and what we put into our bodies, and that is a predominant exposure pathway. So that's a real area of focus.
It's so incredibly important. When I was working for Milwaukee County as their general counsel, we filed one of the first PFAS lawsuits in the state of Wisconsin against many of the manufacturers, which are basically household names, Dow Chemical, 3M, et cetera. And before really watching the film Dark Water, I was not aware of how diffuse PFAS is in so many of the products. You mentioned a whole ream of them. It also includes all your Stainmaster carpeting and furniture. So it's basically impossible to live in the United States or almost anywhere these days and not be exposed to PFAS. It's in linoleum tiles, all kinds of different things. Wanted to share with the listeners that Joe Biden has done quite a bit on PFAS. Do you want to tackle those details, Tony, or should I lay them out for folks? And then I want to come back to what Midwest Environmental Associates is doing again to help folks in Wisconsin with our PFAS problems locally.
Yeah, well, I'd be happy to start. We can tag team a little bit. I mean, I think the last several years has been a really important period for starting to get a handle on this issue. And like I mentioned, our regulatory system, our water protection laws are just starting to catch up. So one thing that the Biden EPA has done recently is set the first ever standards under the Safe Drinking Water Act for two of the most common PFAS compounds and four others. And I guess, we should say that when we talk about PFAS, we're talking about a class of hundreds, if not thousands of compounds. Again, the science is, just starting to kind of catch up and help us get a handle on what we're dealing with here. But the PFAS that compounds that have been the most studied, that we've known about for the longest, PFOA and PFOS are included in that Safe Drinking Water Act regulation. And it sets requirements that those compounds be virtually eliminated from municipal drinking water, that they be removed to basically the detectable limits. So that's really, really important. But, you know, what's also important is not only to have those standards in place, but to make sure that the funding is available so that communities can improve their water treatment facilities to respond to these problems. So that was a big focus of the bipartisan infrastructure law. The bipartisan infrastructure law overall dedicated $50 billion to water infrastructure, and a good chunk of that was specifically for tackling PFAS and emerging contaminants. That's something that's making a difference throughout Wisconsin. We could talk about, you know, the many communities that have discovered that they have PFAS problems in the last couple of years. And you know, it's great that progress is being made, that something can be done.
Yeah, that specific figure coming out of the bipartisan infrastructure law, specifically targeted PFAS and other emerging water contaminants, $9 billion of that $50 billion, again, through the BIL, that is supposed to help us all have what we really should have, which is access to safe drinking water. You also mentioned, and it bears emphasis, that it took until April of this year, which still boggles my mind, April of this year, just 3 months ago, before PFAS were finally categorized or classified as hazardous substances. They can now be covered by the Superfund law, in other words, federal monies, to clean up PFAS, especially that which is leaching into our drinking water systems. And finally, in April, again, this April, the EPA released those exposure levels that you were referencing, Tony, that basically try to establish what level of PFAS is safe. And it's usually measured in parts per million or parts per billion, depending on the substance that we're talking about. So finally, Joe Biden got that done. Watch Dark Waters, could not believe that it wasn't classified as a hazardous substance. It was basically unregulated for 40 years as it diffused into nearly every conceivable consumer product. Now, closer to home here, we've got these dollars. There's at least $250 million or so that I understand in our state budget that's been allocated by Governor Evers to address PFAS, but we haven't spent a penny of it. Tony, what's going on there?
Yeah, that is really unfortunate. And we can get into the details, but it boils down to the fact that Republicans in the legislature have not released that funding because they've wanted the governor to agree to legislation that would weaken our state's spills law. And the spills law is the main law that we have to hold PFAS polluters accountable. It's the law that says, if you've made a mess, if you've released something harmful into the environment, you have to clean it up. And over the course of the last year, there have been efforts to tie that funding that was set aside in the state budget to legislative changes that would limit the ability of the state to use the spills law to go after PFAS polluters like Tyco Johnson Controls up in Marinette that has manufactured PFAS-containing firefighting foam for many, many years. Simply put, that would have been a bad deal for the state of Wisconsin because the cost of addressing PFAS in groundwater and in drinking water is going to be very, 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 very expensive, many times more than the $125 million that was being dangled here to weaken our state's laws to hold polluters accountable. It's unfortunate that that's the way it played out this session. One of the silver linings is that there is this money from the bipartisan infrastructure law that is working its way through the system, that is funding projects in places like Wausau and Eau Claire and French Island outside of La Crosse, so that those communities are able to take steps to get clean drinking water, despite the fact that that funding has been held up in that way.
Yeah, it's really, I have a term for it that I use often on the show. I call it performative politics. I don't mean politics or politicians aren't theatrical. They are. What I mean by performative politics is basically the exercise of power in a way that you know is not actually helping your constituents, an exercise of power purely to exercise that power to self-aggrandize. Here, the lies told by the Robin Voss-led GOP gerrymandered into no sort of even slight version of one person, one vote in the state of Wisconsin, lied to people and told them, oh, this is to protect homeowners from being responsible for corporate spills. It was nothing of the kind. The language did not do that. That was an outright lie. And they continue to hold up that critical funding that, especially in our rural communities, where some people are pulling from wells and cisterns and the leaching problem is incredibly serious. It's a real issue. Here, we broadcast live out of Waukesha. Waukesha had to strike a deal, you know, to get good water into Waukesha because they were running out and all of their water was contaminated. This is a real problem. It doesn't matter where you live in the state of Wisconsin. PFAS in drinking water is an issue for you, I promise you. Here's a few other things that the Biden administration has been working on also related to PFAS. They provided funding for blood tests for firefighters to determine their exposure level and risk. It's the least we can do for some of our first responders. The Department of Defense has approved three new firefighting foams that contain no fluorine, which is the F in the PFAS, and the part that really causes that persistence in the environment that keeps it from breaking down, that makes it so hard to remediate. These foams have also been approved by the Federal Aviation Administration for commercial aviation firefighting, which is really what has driven the use of those foams, the FAA requirement for them, and also the military applications. Third, the FDA has begun the process of phasing out PFAS used in food packaging. Duh, right? Thank you, Joe Biden. And the EPA, now that two PFAS chemicals have been designated as hazardous, is investigating cleanup sites and costs, again, under CERCLA, also known as Superfund. So a lot happening from the Biden administration. Here's the thing that's going to be on the ballot in August, Tony, that impacts this very question. There are two very sneaky constitutional amendments that Republicans are putting onto the August primary ballot. Do not miss the primaries in August, folks. I don't even need to read you the language. Basically, what they're doing is trying to hamstring the governor's long-standing powers under state statute to spend funds like the funds coming from the Bipartisan Infrastructure Act by subjecting them to this very bizarre Joint Finance Committee process, which, by the way, the Joint Finance Committee in Wisconsin is basically a creature unto its own. I don't know of any other state that has quite a weird system. It upsets the balance of powers and it hamstrings the executive branch of government from basically responding to public health threats that are imminent, like things like PFAS. Exactly. Suffice it to say, folks, these two constitutional amendments, the Republicans in the legislature know they could never get passed through a statutory change because the governor would veto them. So they're trying to trick you, sneak them onto the ballot when no one will be going in the primaries in August. These two constitutional amendments, I respectfully submit, you should be voting no on. They are dangerous, dangerous, dangerous. Am I getting any of that wrong, Tony, in my understanding of what's going on?
No, you're speaking my language. That's exactly right. And you know, the constitutional amendment to limit the ability of the governor to use federal emergency funding could have even wider implications, where all of, you know, tons of federal money that we get to support things like safe drinking water would be potentially outside of the state budget process and outside of the oversight of the line item veto. And we could see, you know, just a lot of uncertainty about how we can even spend federal resources to address these really, really serious problems. So absolutely, it should be vote no on those constitutional amendments.
Tony, we got about 10 seconds left. Tell people where you can find out more about Midwest Environmental Advocates.
Yeah, absolutely. We're at MidwestAdvocates.org. That's our website. We're a nonprofit environmental law center that works with Wisconsinites around the state to secure our rights to a healthy environment. I'm really glad to have been here.
Thanks so much, Tony. Wilkin Giebart, the executive director of Midwest Environmental Advocates. Stay put, everybody. We'll be back.
You're listening to Mad Radio WMDX, Madison's home for the Todd Lawball Show. Gordy here from the Mad Radio Morning Show. When you text us at Civic Media, our text line is sponsored by Rocket Industrial in Madison, chosen by 80% of Fortune 500 manufacturers in the United States that want to package with less. RocketIndustrial.com.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about five times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Looking for a roundup of today's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WMDX website at mad.radio. Your news, just for the Madison area. I'm Terry Bell with WMDX News.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. I got to talk about the Brewers because they won again yesterday. 2-0, they were playing the Los Angeles Angels. Their road trip continues this evening as they move on to San Diego. First pitch is at 8:40. They took 2 of 3 games from the Angels. That keeps them atop the National League Central, 7.5 of the dreaded St. Louis Cardinals, but more importantly, 8.5 up on those dastardly Cubs.
More importantly, it was 8.5 2 days ago, and the Cubs have played 2 games. That means they actually won 2 games in a row. So there, and Kyle Hendricks is back. It's amazing.
Yeah.
No, I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Keep him in the lineup, Craig.
Keep him in the lineup. But it is a combo pack day. We're covering both days 13 and 14 of Joe Biden's top 100. Again, my thanks to my last guest, Tony Wolkin-Gibar, executive director of Midwest Environmental Advocates. So we talked about what Joe Biden has been doing to get clean water to Wisconsinites, especially as it relates to PFAS. And I promised you all yesterday we would again catch up, and I was going to talk a little bit about biofuels because I got to be honest, Brian, I hate to admit it, I wasn't even sure what the heck these things were. Did you know what a biofuel was? I mean, I had a vague notion.
I'm picturing making some sort of gasoline out of algae or some sort of there's a giant petri dish and then someone's stirring it. That's what I have.
Yes, that is the image that was in my, like a big cauldron of green goo that somehow powers our cars, whatever. Yeah, this is kind of what it is. So biofuels are produced over a short time span from biomass, which is the fancy term, for things from agricultural or industrial biowaste. And so it's basically a much cleaner way to produce energy than the typical fossil fuel process, which is very slow and frankly makes our natural resources and our environment susceptible to all kinds of damage when you're extracting, again, the fossil fuels like oil from the ground,
on top of that,
from an ocean, driving a tanker around Alaska, that kind of a thing.
You don't have many more new dinosaurs dying and decomposing and then becoming oil either. So
probably not going to create a whole lot more fossil fuel-based energy in the next, say, 100 years. That's pretty much a fixed supply. So biofuels, again, much cleaner than fossil fuels, and as Brian adroitly just pointed out, renewable. So what has Joe Biden been doing in the biofuel area? Basically, where electrification isn't really possible, you can think of trying to move us away from fossil fuels and onto biofuels. So what has he done? This is clearly basically when you hear the discussions about ethanol-based gasoline, that's a version of biofuels. So under the U.S. Department of Agriculture, as run by Joe Biden, with funding from the Inflation Reduction Act, as well as the Rural Energy for America program and the Higher Blends Infrastructure Improvement Program, all sorts of federal funding is being provided to farms, rural businesses, and businesses within the supply chain related to biofuels to install more clean power infrastructure and all kinds of things. So if you're a farmer in the state of Wisconsin or throughout the Midwest, this is helping you out. These are federal grants to farmers, again, to help support this move towards biofuels away from fossil fuels, especially where electrification isn't completely available or diffuse or enough charging stations, or we just don't have enough of it yet. This federal funding also allows almost all stages of consumers for access to biofuels and a greater variety and amount of biofuel blends. I can't read today, Brian. Blends. Basically, this will show up at the gas pump if you're using ethanol-based or biofuel-based gasoline, bringing the costs for those sorts of gasolines down. This is E85 fuel. If you see it at the pump, that's what that is. It also applies to all marine, rail, and home heating consumers. So again, this should keep costs down, drive costs down for consumers that are using biofuels. It's also helping the businesses that help produce biofuels up and down the supply chain, as well as rural farmers. It's a big, big deal. So really excited to see that investment by the Biden administration in biofuels. You know, you look at what the polling's doing in Iowa, which has an agricultural economy, largely singularly an agricultural economy, and it doesn't track for me. I mean, the Iowa economy has been benefited greatly, the farms there, by what Joe Biden has done to help support the biofuel industry. And yet the polling in Iowa is bananas. It's like 80% Trump. Makes no sense. It's called voting against your economic self-interest. I don't get it. It's very strange.
Yeah, but Trump isn't a Dem, though.
Yep. So I guess forget the good policies that put money in my pocket and food on my table. I got to vote for the convicted felon. Tom from LA, welcome to the show. Nice to see you on the caller list.
Hey, Maggie. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. Second, I love what you're doing each day by talking about Joe Biden's accomplishments and what he's actually done. But I did want to say a couple things, and maybe you can go over this at some time. One, my sister actually went and did an absentee ballot there in Wisconsin, and this is goes along with Greg Palast and voting. She had to basically make sure she put a pound or took the pound sign out of her address, because first they would not accept her ballot or her registration because she moved to a different area without the pound sign being in there. So that's how like voter repression they're being, and everyone needs to check that voter registration and all of that.
Yeah, thanks, Tom, for that reminder. We should do a couple of shows explicitly on the absentee ballot registration process. Frankly, after the last election cycle, what you saw was all sorts of nitpicky baloney. That's what Tom's pointing out, to toss people's ballots. Don't fall prey to it. That was a combo pack of days 13 and 14 of Joe Biden's top 100. We're going to take couple of really important messages. You're going to hear news, weather, and sports. Brian and I will be back because apparently they're putting the Ten Commandments in every single school in the state of Louisiana. Let's talk about it when we come back. I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Mad Radio, WMDX, Madison's home for the John and Gordy Show.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in to a very special Devil's Advocates radio show this Thursday. We'll be both stirring the pot and cooking with gas. Friday Eve, tune in, Devils.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 3 to 6.
Introducing the new Sushi Lover Madison. Indulge in all-you-can-eat sushi or hibachi at an amazing price. Now open at Westtown Mall for lunch or dinner. Experience stunning decor with a beautiful water fountain, captivating oriental artwork, and a welcoming atmosphere. Their skilled chefs create each sushi roll fresh and made to order. Visit today at 72 Westtown Mall and satisfy your cravings. For menus and a full list of locations, visit SushiLoverWI.com.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Mad Radio.
WMDX 1580 AM Columbus, W224 EG Madison.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.